Radio Prague News.
The Czech and Polish presidents have criticized the European Union for allegedly being slow and inefficient in dealing with a humanitarian crisis in Haiti. A Eurobarometer poll indicates that Czechs trust EU institutions more than they trust their own government. And Czech jockey Josef Váňa has been presented with a Czech Olympic Committee's prize for the best sports achievement of the year. At a press conference in Prague on Thursday, Czech President Václav Klaus and visiting Polish President Lech Kaczynski criticized the European Union for allegedly being slow and inefficient in dealing with a humanitarian crisis in Haiti. President Klaus said European leaders had met too late and given too little in humanitarian aid, which he blamed on the new working structure of the EU resulting from the Lisbon Treaty. The Czech and Polish presidents share similar sceptical views of the European Union. In talks on Thursday, they said the Lisbon Treaty should not lead to further centralization and expressed themselves in favor of further EU expansion. On the occasion of his two-day visit to the Czech Republic, President Kaczynski was awarded a high state distinction, the Order of the White Lion. The results of a Eurobarometer poll published on Thursday suggest that Czechs trust EU institutions more than they trust their own government. This despite the fact that few respondents had a clear idea about how the EU functions. The poll revealed that 60% of Czechs trust the European Parliament and the European Commission, while the Czech government got a 37% credit rating and the Czech Parliament a mere 15%. 63% of Czechs think EU membership has benefited their country. Experts say the high level of trust in EU institutions stems from the fact that many Czechs are hoping that strict EU norms will improve the Czech environment. Czech jockey Josef Váňa has been presented with a Czech Olympic Committee's Jiří Gut Jarkovský Prize for the best sports achievement of the year. A legend of Czech horse racing, Mr. Váňa won the Grand Pardubice steeplechase for the sixth time last October at the age of 56. The country's most popular jockey was recently awarded a high state distinction by President Václav Klaus for his lifelong contribution to horse racing. Mr. Váňa said he hoped the awards would help promote the sport he had dedicated his life to. A concert in aid of Haiti has just got underway on Prague's Old Town Square. The event was organized by Prague City Hall in cooperation with the country's public broadcasters, Czech Television and Czech Radio. The concert is being broadcast live and listeners have been asked to send financial donations via their mobile phones. The Czech government recently earmarked 20 million crowns in aid of earthquake victims. Prague City Hall has set aside 12 million and NGOs have raised more than 33 million crowns. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days are expected to be overcast, with daytime temperatures between minus 4 and minus 8 degrees Celsius. The weekend is expected to bring more heavy snow around the country. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks to you for tuning in. Coming up on today's program, a major facelift for an exhibition in Prague dedicated to the brave assassins of Reinhard Heydrich.
That was one of the biggest acts during the Second World War, and maybe the biggest act in the modern Czechoslovak history.
As Finland aims to eradicate smoking completely, where does the Czech Republic stand? Czech Radio joins the relief effort for Haiti with a fundraising concert on Prague's Old Town Square. Then later on in Panorama, we look at the issue of alcoholism in the Czech Republic. I hope you'll stay with us today for all that here on Radio Prague. The assassination in May 1942 of the Nazi governor of Bohemia and Moravia, Reinhard Heydrich, was one of the most dramatic events of World War II. The Czechoslovak resistance fighters, who were parachuted into Prague to carry out the attack, later met their own deaths in a church in the city after being surrounded by Nazi troops. Their brave actions are the focus of an exhibition in the church's crypt, which has now been given a major facelift. Ian Willoughby was at its reopening.
A service was held at the Orthodox Church of St. Cyril and Methodius near the centre of Prague on Wednesday, marking the reopening of an exhibition in its crypt. It's dedicated to parachutists Josef Gabčík and Jan Kubiš and their associates, who died on June 18, 1942, just weeks after they'd carried out the daring assassination of Reinhard Heydrich, the Reichsprotector of Bohemia and Moravia. The exhibition was first opened in the early 1990s, but has now been significantly redesigned. Colonel Aleš Knížek of the Czech Military Institute was behind the facelift.
Museum items were removed from the actual crypt itself and placed here in this anteroom. Our aim was to make the crypt more solemn. It will now contain only 7 busts of the parachutists who died here in this church. The anteroom maps the Czechoslovak resistance movement and contains items that they used here in the crypt, as well as in the assassination of Heydrich.
3 of the paratroopers were killed by the Nazis, while 4 others took their own lives rather than surrender. In the crypt of the Church of Saints Cyril and Methodius, the Czech Defence Minister Martin Bartak reflected on the sacrifice of those who died there in June 1942.
I think that was one of the biggest acts during the Second World War, and maybe the biggest act in the modern Czechoslovak history. And I consider these paratroopers as the biggest heroes of our nation. And I think this is something from which we should learn all the time and which we should never forget.
The parachutists had trained in England alongside other members of the Czechoslovak army in exile, and the British ambassador to Prague, Sian McLeod, was among the special guests at Wednesday's opening.
I've just had a look at the new exhibition, which I think is really very moving, very well presented and very interesting, and I'm looking forward to spending more time looking at it. But this remains, the crypt of the Church of St. Cyril and Methodius remains a very important, very moving place.
The church and its crypt were already one of the most popular sites with history buffs in the Czech capital, and the people behind its new facelift say they're hopeful it'll now draw even more visitors.
Ian Willoughby there with that story. Many consider Prague's public transport system one of the best in Europe, but there could soon be cuts to services in the city, including a proposal to end metro services after midnight. Even though the approval of this cost-cutting measure is still pending, many Prague residents are outraged at the possibility that the last metro trains could leave earlier. Sarah Barufka has the details.
After reading that the last metro every night might soon be cut by ROPID, the Prague Integrated Transportation Authority, activist and Green Party member Teresa Vandrovcová decided to fight against the measure. She founded a protest group on the social network Facebook in early January. In less than 3 weeks, almost 26,000 people joined the group.
It's not clever to cancel fully loaded train, and last metro train is always fully occupied. I know that money situation is bad and they must save the money on public transportation, but why they want to cancel something like Midnight Underground? It's nonsense for me.
The cost-cutting measure is motivated by ROPID's stated aim of cutting costs by 5% this year. According to the Transport Authority spokesman Philip Drapal, the last metro is at 50% of its capacity most of the time, making it a good option to be cut. But he stresses that the proposal has not even been approved yet.
Of course, the last metro will always be a bit fuller than the one before that. Unfortunately, these people don't even know what they are protesting against. The proposition has not been decided on or approved, so any protest at this moment is simply pointless.
Despite the fact that it is merely in the proposal stage, the potential reduction of late-night transport is an issue that angers many Prague residents.
I think they shouldn't get rid of it. I think they should even extend the service because a lot of people use night metros, including me.
The night metro should stay. A lot of people, including me, use it to return home from their late shifts. And without it, we wouldn't be able to make later connections.
The proposal will be discussed with town hall representatives next week. Jiří Wolf, the spokesman of Prague Town Hall, says this is just one of many possible cost-cutting measures.
The Integrated Transport Authority and the Prague Public Transport Company meet several times a year, so this is nothing out of the ordinary. This is another meeting, and if we will discuss some changes to cut costs, then they won't be the kind that would significantly affect Prague residents.
City Hall spokesman Jiří Wolf talking there to our reporter Sarah Barufka. Now, Finland made international headlines recently with news that its government plans to completely eradicate smoking. Not just a ban on smoking in public places, that already exists, but the total and final eradication of smoking amongst the Finnish population. It's a lofty goal, to be sure, and has reignited the smoking debate in other European countries, many of which have banned smoking in cafes, pubs, and restaurants. The Czech Republic, however, like most former communist states, seems to be trailing behind. Rob Cameron reports.
Around a quarter of all Czechs, 2.5 million people, are smokers, addicted to a drug that will eventually kill one in five of them at huge expense to the state.
And then breathe out with the full power you have, like as fast as possible.
Many, of course, want to give up. Those that do often find themselves here at the Tobacco Dependence Treatment Center in Prague. Dr. Alexandra Kmetová is running a few tests.
Okay. So you have 155 persons.
The director of the center is Dr. Eva Králíková, one of the country's most vocal anti-smoking campaigners. She's particularly concerned about the effects of passive smoking and is disappointed that new legislation, due to enter into force in July, falls short of a total ban on smoking in pubs, cafes and restaurants. She says even the law's provision that non-smoking areas must be separated with a wall does not go far enough.
Unfortunately, you have to open the door and to go there, and of course the air will be mixed. It's similar like a swimming pool where you can piss in one corner and you would suggest that the rest of water is clear. Only 100% smoke-free environment is safe.
But for many Czechs, attempts to eradicate smoking are part of a crusade by interfering busybodies, egged on by health fascists in Brussels. Senator Jaroslav Kubera, a heavy smoker with a deep belief in personal freedom, told Czech radio recently he didn't like the way things were going.
The fact of the matter is that non-smokers aren't looking after themselves. They're just aggressively attacking those who smoke. All these regulations are ridiculous. They'll be banning certain kinds of food next. States are interfering in people's lives in more and more ways. George Orwell was spot on when he described the future in 1984. Believe me, it's getting closer.
Anti-smoking campaigners suspect the powerful tobacco industry is behind the failed attempts to introduce a total smoking ban. A leading Czech newspaper claimed recently that representatives of three international cigarette companies actually work as assistants to MPs. As long as the tobacco industry enjoys unfettered access to lawmakers, say the anti-smoking campaigners, a Finnish-style crackdown is simply out of the question.
Thanks to Rob Cameron for that report. To those of you who may just be tuning in, thank you for joining us. This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, broadcasting on shortwave, via satellite, and on the internet. I'm Christian Falvey. Czech singers and musicians are playing their part in the campaign to raise cash for the earthquake-hit island of Haiti. Two concerts are being staged in the capital on Thursday, with participants performing for free. Celebrities also lined up for other events. Chris Johnstone has the details.
Czech pop singer David Dale there, kicking off a concert in Prague's Old Town Square on Thursday afternoon, at the start of what amounts to a musical marathon to help Haiti. The Help Haiti concert will run for 8 hours, with dozens of top Czech singers and groups taking part. The event is being jointly organised by Prague City Council, Czech radio station Regina, Czech television and the charity People in Need. Prague City Council believes this is one of the first concerts in the world organised by a city to help the Haiti earthquake victims. The concert was the brainchild of radio journalist and presenter Petr Sirotek.
Those taking part here have chosen to express their support for the people of that stricken island. The 8-hour program is packed with singers and groups. In short, those artists in the Czech Republic who've chosen to sing in support of Haiti. Among the main names are Lucia Bila, Monika Absalonova and Iveta Blanarovičová. We have information that the Czech Prime Minister Jan Fischer is due to make an appearance here as well on Old Town Square.
Mr. Sirotek said it had been a race against time to arrange the concert so fast.
I came up with the idea last Thursday, so you can perhaps imagine the work gone into preparing this concert in 7 days. The idea was only the first step. The second was finding partners who could take part. And of course it was important that the help could come in time. That's why we've prepared this in such a short space of time.
Later in the evening, a cultural centre in a former Prague factory will host the SOS Haiti concert, parts of which will be screened live on Czech television. It will also include video messages from celebrities such as former Czech President Václav Havel. Czech celebrities are also taking part in other events. Retired soccer players Pavel Nedved and Karol Poborský are taking part in a benefit football match in Lisbon, Portugal on Monday, pitting former Benfica Lisbon stars against a World 11. Poborský will take to the field for the Portuguese team, with Nedved appearing for the World 11 alongside the likes of former French star Zinedine Zidane and Brazil's footballer Kaká. Ordinary Czechs have already given more than 33 million crowns since appeal started more than a week ago, following the 6.1 Richter scale earthquake on the island.
That report was by Chris Johnstone. Now our weekly feature, Panorama, in which Jan Bellinger discusses alcoholism in the Czech Republic.
A new study conducted by Czech specialists on substance addiction has suggested that the problem of alcohol abuse is worsening in the Czech Republic. The study, to be published in the Central European Journal of Public Health, suggested that as much as 30% of Czech men are problem drinkers, while the number is 9% for women, risking health and possible addiction through their drinking habits. Dr. Karel Nešpor, one of the country's well-known experts on the treatment of addiction at Prague's Bohunice Psychiatric Hospital, agrees the numbers are worrying.
Alcohol consumption is consistently high in this country. We have one of the highest alcohol consumption, per capita alcohol consumption in Europe.
What is alarming is that a number of hazardous drinkers may not realize the risk. Experts stress that it can be a fine line between when alcohol goes from being part of an ordinary social life to an insurmountable problem. Karel Nešpor again.
The amount of alcohol is not the main point. There are many people with great tolerance or great resistance to alcohol, but there are great number of people for whom really very small amount of alcohol may cause considerable damage. For example, if they take some medication, or maybe women during pregnancy. So the amount of alcohol varies individually. There are some people for whom the safe amount of alcohol is zero.
Monika Plotsova is a Prague-based psychotherapist helping women overcome alcohol addiction. She agrees that people often do underestimate the problem.
Usually it starts with light drinking, say a glass of wine a day, and that situation can continue for years. But then something happens that changes everything. It's a very fragile moment, and it's impossible to say when you will cross the line and find yourself on the other side. So you keep drinking and don't think you have a problem, or you tell yourself that you don't. And then suddenly you begin to feel that something is no longer right.
After that, it becomes extremely difficult, especially for many female drinkers, to admit what's happened because of the stigma associated with alcohol abuse. And families with no previous experience in addiction are often also at a strong disadvantage, often failing to realize for some time just how serious the problem has become. Specialist Karel Nešpor again.
We may say that probably the most important feature of alcohol dependence is lost or impaired control. These people drink alcohol even in inappropriate situations, and they are not able to control the amount of alcohol. So for such people, abstinence, sobriety, total sobriety would be the safest choice.
Families with a parent or child addicted to alcohol often face long or even unsuccessful trials of getting their loved one, often in denial, to undergo treatment. Only alcoholics who are suicidal or a threat to their environment receive court orders. Otherwise, families are largely on their own. Psychotherapist Monika Plotsova knows the dangers. 10 years ago, before helping people today, she too had to overcome alcohol addiction.
Facing the problem is extremely difficult, and beginning treatment, there is no light at the end of the tunnel. For everyone, it's different, but all patients, including me 10 years ago, feel that their world has turned inside out. They have hit rock bottom and fear the future. There doesn't seem to be any solution. During 11 weeks of treatment, a bit of hope gradually begins to emerge, and a person begins to gain self-awareness and hopefully regains reasons to live. But it's a very long process, one that does not end with initial treatment but continues with outpatient programs.
To je hrozně těžký a pracujeme na tom v rámci doléčovacích skupin a v rámci následné péče po ústavní.
Relapses are common and failure rates high, but according to Monika Plotsova, patients have to keep trying, and there are of course those who succeed fully, discovering a new focus in their lives.
V rámci té sebereflexe vnitřní, kdy si člověk opravdu sahne do sebe.
Some dig deep and are able to discover an inner potential they never knew they had. In my case, I learned I could write and could also help others. Someone else may find painting or go back to school. Sometimes these kinds of discoveries are possible.
Takže tohle jsou všechno takové hodnoty, které se jakoby vynořejí z duše zevnitř.
Most specialists in the field stress that overcoming addiction is a lifelong battle where former patients can be successful only if they honestly address the risks and put their mind to finding activities, hobbies or work to replace the hole left by the absence of drink. Bohnice Psychiatric Hospital's Karel Nešpor once again.
The chances are definitely higher, but definitely they are not cured. Because after, for example, these 6 weeks, the alcohol dependence and craving and things like that, there is lower intensity of craving, there is better self-control. But definitely the problem isn't solved. We work here as somebody showing the right way, guiding people through the first steps, but definitely you are not able to take them through the whole way.
As for problem drinking examined in the recent study, Karel Nishpor says a single major step by the government would go a long way in curbing hazardous consumption, a step he and others in the field believe would have a significant impact, raising the tax on beer and other alcoholic beverages so they might cost more than juice or soft drinks.
Many simple non-alcoholic or soft drinks or non-alcoholic beverages are more expensive than beer. It is ridiculous. I can't remember any country over the world where something like this is tolerated. People should know that it is unfair if alcohol industry takes away the profits and leave to state people damaged by alcohol, unable to work or pay taxes. So this should be compensated, and it is quite rational, and from the point of view of total alcohol consumption is also effective.
That's all for this week's Panorama, written and produced by Jan Wellinger. And it brings us to the end of our program for today. Don't forget, this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you'd like to comment on anything, our email address is always english@radio.cz, and our mailing address is Vinohradska 12 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, and all of us here at Radio Prague, we thank you for listening and we wish you the best.